Well, even though we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation this week, the more I've been reading lately, I see that the Reformation probably started for Martin Luther back in 1510 already. It would be like 507 years since he first began to have new and changing thoughts in his mind. He went on a trip to Rome with a superior. They had some business to tend to, so they walked from Germany to Rome, which would be about like walking from here to Denver or from here to Philadelphia, something like that, with a lot of mountains in between. So it was a long and arduous walk. When Luther got there, though, he discovered a very different world from what he'd known in Germany. The religion, the way Christianity was practiced in Italy, was different than it was in Germany. And even though he was then at the main place of the Christian church, there was a blatant disregard of the sanctity of the things precious to the church, such as Holy Communion. People kind of mocked it sometimes when he was around it. And he saw such a focus on doing different things for God, climbing up steps on your knees and saying the Lord's Prayer and things like that, and exchanging both piety and money to please God. He also witnessed the headquarters of the church's power structure, and he became very disillusioned. Some would say he became even angry. When historians I read said that it was there that the verse, "The just shall live by faith," came to his mind and began to say, "We live by faith, not by all this stuff we do for God." And it became like a mantra for him while he was in Rome, "The just shall live by faith," as he saw this stuff around him he could barely stand to look at. This was the beginning of his seeing that the relationship we have with God is one that trusts the promise born out in Jesus, not so much in our doing certain things or being pious in a certain way to earn God's will. As time went on and as he studied Scripture more, as he had to know it to teach it, he began to see the Bible from this view, that God is indeed a loving God who has created us with life and saved us in Jesus for life. Luther began to see more and more how in the 1500 years since Jesus and Paul to his time, that things had gotten turned upside down. Instead of living by the motto, "God first loved us," the tone was, "Well, if I do enough of what the church wants me to do, I will earn my way out of purgatory sometime." So going forward, Luther kept many of the practices of the church, but he kept more actually than some of the other reformers did. He didn't give up though on baptism. He kept infant baptism, and he thought Holy Communion was a good thing, and he kept the order of worship the way it pretty much was historically handed to him. But he changed the emphasis. He emphasized how these were God's gifts to be received in faith and for us to grow in the Spirit and to receive forgiveness. These were the means that God gives us so that we can have these good gifts from God. He saw how worship was a time to give praise to God and thanksgiving for what God has done. And he wrote hymns that were uplifting and full of spirit. He didn't throw out the order, but kept the ancient order even as we use it today, which keeps us as one with the majority of Christians who have gone before us and the majority of Christians who are around us in the world today. He changed some wording to emphasize that communion is Christ's gift to us from the cross once and for all. But as we use this worship or order today, it ties us to Christians who have gone before and those all around us in the world, so we are one together with those who believe in Jesus. We are the Church Catholic. One of the things that caught my eye last winter at the Luther exhibit in Minneapolis was something I mentioned in the October newsletter, that one of the actual indulgence receptacles was there at the exhibit, about the size of a shipping or clothes trunk, but it had a slot in the top to put coins in. This was to receive money to pay for indulgences for either one's own sin or one's relative or friend's sin, that to reduce their amount of time in purgatory. The deal was if you put money in, then time in purgatory would be reduced. But that's the kind of theology that points upward. If I do this, I'm pleasing God, and somehow like climbing up a ladder to get closer to God. and thinking that we can do things to earn God's favor. Luther in his time had another chest started in Wittenberg that had it for a collection of money also, but it was called a community chest. And it was for those who were needy in the community. Contributions became an act of love for the sake of others, lived out of the grace of having received the assurance of God's love and God's care for oneself. And so it was out of thanksgiving one would share, and out of care for the person up or down the street, that one would put money in this chest. And it kept, in his view, the money where it counted, in the hands of the poor of the community who needed it, and didn't send it off to Rome to build St. Peter's Cathedral, which was an act, again, of going up to God. He saw things all on one level. We love the neighbor, love the one near to us. To him, as we would read the New Testament, to help the poor was a much more Christ-like thing to do. I like the Christmas carol that has the words, "Love came down at Christmas time." It helps us think of the love of God coming down to us in Jesus. It reminds us of how this relationship starts. God comes down. It's there for us to receive with arms wide open. As Christmas time also emphasizes, it's God's gift to us. We are the receivers, not so much the doers, but the receivers. One of the reasons that Luther's work is and his thought is so enduring, and a reason I continue to stick with him, is that he's so realistic about the state of us as human beings. He doesn't pretend that we are better than we are. Even though he worked with Scripture every day, even though he prayed every day, even though he had people of the church around him every day, he still struggled with his faith. He knew that we cannot assume our faith. And so not only every week, but every day, we need to receive that assurance that indeed we are a loved child of God and affirm that. He wrote in the Catechism, "God provides me with food and clothing, home, family, and daily work, and all that I need from day to day." God cares for us daily. Luther had a gift for writing in a winsome way, and when he wanted to, he could write briefly. Sometimes he wrote large volumes, but sometimes he wrote briefly, especially when he wanted lots of people to read what he was writing. He was writing ideas about changing the direction, about how we think about God, and how this could, he wanted to write it in ways that could be readily understood by the people. And one of the booklets he wrote that was very significant was probably no more words in it than a daily post-dispatch here in St. Louis. Yet it has a richness that leaves us bathing in the grace of God. He wrote, "This is the mystery which is rich in divine grace to sinners, wherein by a wonderful exchange our sins are no longer ours but Christ, and the righteousness of Christ is not Christ's but ours. Christ emptied himself of his righteousness that he might clothe us with it and fill us with it, and has taken our evils upon himself that he might deliver us from them." And it kind of plays out in this way that he continues on writing, "A Christian is Lord of all, completely free of everything. A Christian is a servant, completely attentive to the needs of all, both at the same time." A week ago, Friday night, the youth had an overnight retreat at the Mead Center, and I noticed a van parked in the parking lot. It's pictured in some of the back pages of your bulletin today. It brought the youth from Living Lord Lutheran in Lake St. Louis to the event. And on the front part of this van were written the words, "Backwards, it's all about grace." They were written purposely so that you would see it through your rearview mirror if you were the car in front of it going down the road. And then you would see it plainly say, "It's all about grace." It occurred to me that this is a description of how we live and how Luther lived. That is, in life, we're always kind of looking through the rearview mirror at what's coming behind us. What kind of danger are we in because something's probably approaching us from the back? And we want to see that, what's that thing that's approaching us? Is it catching up to me? Will I escape it? We live in fears all the time. We think we're making progress, but we still keep looking behind us, wondering what's going to overtake us, what's going to get me in my life. But with the promise of Jesus, the promise is always there. It's all about grace. That is, it's a gift from God. We can let go of the fear. We can have that wonderful feeling when we are living in fear with uncertainty, that, and when things aren't going well enough for us and we're really wondering how things will turn out, or if we please God or have we not pleased everyone. When we're worried about those kinds of things, the good thought comes to us that there's that phrase, that verse, we are justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in us in Jesus Christ. There are all kinds of things that make us look back and wonder if the thing we are fearing is catching up to us. It may be our age, maybe our health, maybe our debt, maybe competition at work, maybe our boss, maybe our teacher, the people in our group, maybe even at school. There's always something saying we're fearful of. It's catching up to me. It's going to do me in. Pastor Penny preached a couple weeks ago saying how so many of our youth are so anxious about knowing what to do for their careers in life. There's always some place that we get that anxiety enters into our life. Whatever we worry about, whatever we get anxious about, that's what we think is coming to approach us from the rear and is going to get us. We check on it through our life's figurative rearview mirror. What we can do when we get so stressed and anxious is remember these words written on the front of that van. It's all about grace. God's love came to us so that whatever it is that pushes us and keeps us nervous, we can commend that to God and say, it's all about grace. Even when things don't work out so well, we still know that our life before God does not depend on our performance here. But it's that the thing that depends upon is that God loves us, pouring out that love upon us. Luther lived with demons. Sometimes, even when he was alone, as I talked with the kids, he would see them in front of him, and if he didn't suspect they were from behind him, he'd see them all around him. Before this knowledge, when he would see what he thought was a devil and be tormented. He didn't just have those things that are tormented behind him, but they met him head on. And he had to remind himself over and over of the love that God had for him. He needed to remind himself of his own discovery. It's all about grace. And so this reinforces for us how important it is to daily and weekly be reminded of the grace of God. We know there are figurative demons all around us. There are those things that bug us from behind and keep us looking back to check on them. We can remember what we've been promised, that it's all about God's love and grace. We carry on our life's mission until perhaps the next day when we look in that rearview mirror again. And again, instead of seeing that threat come up to us, we see those words come up to us. It's all about grace. So this Reformation Sunday, we want to remember. It's all about grace. God's love for us has freely and fully covered us over so that we can be confident about God's care for us, God's gift of life and love for us, and we can pass it on to others as we share God's love with them. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.